I'll join in with everyone else saying it's good to see everybody present this morning, our visitors, some not so much visitors, some more family. Good to have you with us. So good to see you. I'm going to take just a moment before I start the lesson to remember in a very special way one of our members that is going through or going to be having surgery, that has been suffering for quite some time with the condition that she has. I look back, I read history and so forth of churches of Christ. I see that in those churches from time to time they would just have prayer meetings where they would offer prayers for those that were in need of the congregation. I don't know if we've become so advanced that we've forgotten to do that. But we need not forget. And we need to ask God and petition Him for those that have specific needs that are serious. And so at this time I'm going to use some of my time in offering a prayer on behalf of our sister Jackie Rogers before she goes into surgery. I'm also praying that we do this at home, away from this building. But let's go to God in prayer at this time. Father in heaven, we approach thy throne of grace. We understand, as we look into your word, that you are a God of love. And not only a God of love, but you're also a God of mercy. And we see how you have presented yourself to us as our Father. And we recognize the attributes from that presentation that you have made of yourself, that you are one that is caring, that you want the best for your children, that you watch over them, and that you care for them. And Father, we pray at this time, especially on behalf of our sister Jackie, as she's about to have surgery. She has been suffering for several years now with the condition that she has. And we pray that she will find relief from that. We pray that the surgery that she will be having will be effectual unto her healing. And we pray for the hands that will be caring for her, that you guide those that will be doing the surgery, and that it will be successful. And pray that she will have a normalcy of life. We ask this, of course, in accordance with thy will. Thy will be done in all of these things. But we pray on her behalf because, with you being Father and we being your children, she is family. We pray not only for her. We, of course, keep in mind all those that are sick, those that have health problems and so forth. But especially at this time, on behalf of our sister Jackie, we pray. And we do this through the name of your Son and our Savior, Christ Jesus. Amen. The sermon I'm about to present is not for anyone here that has no sin in their life. If you have never sinned, well, then you are in a very special group of one. That group of one is Christ Jesus, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, as Peter tells us in his first letter. If you are in that condition, well, then you can ignore this sermon. It doesn't mean anything to you. But if you are human, and if you are logical, and if you will admit it, then you will also hear the words of what Paul said in Romans the 3rd chapter and verse 23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And I submit to you that this lesson is about, as I have on the screen, the means of our salvation. It's interesting, sometimes the coincidence, maybe, as we put it, of the songs that are sung, the scriptures that are read, that relates back to the sermon that would be presented. And those songs and the lessons from the scriptures, they all relate to what I'm going to present this morning about the means of our salvation. If you are a person that does not believe that you have an eternal soul that is made in the likeness of God, Genesis 1st chapter verse 26, if you don't believe that, if you believe that you are nothing more than just an animal here upon this earth, a higher form of animal, but nothing different from the animal world, well then this sermon means nothing to you. If you realize that there is a difference in man, that there is a consciousness, there is a sentient acknowledgement of your own existence, if you realize that you have thoughts, you have choice, and so forth, well, then this lesson is for you. And I present this lesson because of what is stated in the world about salvation and the means of salvation, and going back to the Scriptures to look at that means of salvation to see what was identified for us in the Scriptures. If you're a person that believes that this Bible that we follow, this Bible that we read from, this Bible that we conduct our lives by, is nothing more than just a literary work, the sermon's not for you. If you can see the proofs within the Scriptures of everything that is mentioned, that there is no contradiction, that there is absolute truth, just as Jesus prayed before He went to the cross in John 17, chapter verse 17, sanctify them through Thy truth, Thy word is truth. If you believe that, this lesson is for you. I will submit to you that all those that are of age, that have the capability of understanding, that do not have some sort of problem as far as physical and mental is concerned, that this lesson is for you. Follow along with me in the thoughts that I've put together in connection with this lesson. The means of our salvation, the combination of the blood, the word, and obedience. When we think about this, we sing a song from time to time. Nothing but the blood. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, righteous is the flow that has been made for us. They're talking about the shed blood of Christ Jesus, that sacrifice that Jesus had made. I have a brother that I love very much. I'm talking about a Christian brother that I love very much that will not sing that song. He says it's not about just the blood. And it is just about the blood. The only means of our salvation, and in this we agree with all those in the religious world, the only means of our salvation is the blood of Christ Jesus. And that's all. There's nothing more. We cannot be saved by any other means other than the blood of Christ Jesus, that shed blood that was given upon the cross. Follow those thoughts along with me as we look at some passages of Scripture. First of all, redemption comes about by the blood of Christ Jesus. That word redemption means deliverance, as we look it up in the Greek. Peter says this in 1 Peter 1, verses 18 and 19, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. As said, that there was a group of one that is sinless, and that group of one is only one, Christ Jesus. And the reason being is that He did no sin. He is sinless. He set forth this example for us that we can live in accordance with God, but it is through the precious blood of Christ that we are redeemed, that we are delivered. Where there is deliverance, there has to be deliverance from something. And that deliverance is from death, from separation from God. I'm not talking about physical death. We will all die. We'll put down this fleshly mantle, this human body, but we will all die. But we don't have to be separated from God. And Jesus is that means of not being separated because of the redemption that is in the shed blood that He gave upon the cross 2,000 years ago. We see that justification comes about by the blood of Christ. That word justification means regard just or innocent. It is not an earning of justification. It's rather a pronouncement. And Paul says this in Romans 5th chapter and verse 9, much more than having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through Him. It is what God sees when He looks at a child that has the blood of Christ upon him, a child of God that has the blood of Christ upon them. God sees the shed blood of Christ Jesus because of their conduct of life, because of what we're going to be talking about as we go through this lesson. But justification is the only means of that justification is that shed blood of Christ Jesus. That's it. There's nothing else other than the shed blood of Christ that can justify us, so that pronouncement is made by God, not of what we actually are, but what He sees because of His Son and His Son's shed blood. They are justified, those that have My Son's blood upon them. We see Also, the word reconciliation in connection with the blood of Christ Jesus. That reconciliation, that word means an exchange. A change on the part of one party based on the action of another. We think about that as we look back to Colossians, the first chapter, verse 21 and 22. And you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now He hath reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy, blameless, and above reproach in His sight. And as we look at that, this is not something that would take place in the future as far as the end of time, but it's something that takes place now with those that have come in contact with and adhered to the shed blood of Christ Jesus for their salvation, for their redemption, for their justification, and their reconciliation, to be brought back then in a reconciled state with God. And the only means of doing that is the shed blood of Christ Jesus. There's not another means to that. That's all that there is. Our religious friends would like to stop right there and say, well, then there is nothing else to do because the only means of salvation is through the blood of Christ. So there's nothing else then for us. There's nothing else that anyone has to do. God has done it all through Christ Jesus. And that's a popular doctrine today. Misunderstanding of the sovereignty of God. The sovereignty of God in the minds of our religious friend is that our religious friends is that God does it all, we can do nothing. And we have no responsibility or accountability because God does it all. That's not all. But the only means of salvation, the only means of redemption, the only means of justification, the only means of reconciliation back to God is through His shed blood, the shed blood of Christ Jesus. That does not end the story. That does not end the discussion. We look further. And it is through the Word of God that we get to the blood. A direction that is given, instruction that is given in God's Word. And we see this because this Word that is given has power, dunamis, strength or power. And we see in Romans 1st chapter, verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, Paul says. It is the power of God unto, with a view toward salvation. To everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek, for all people. There is this element in order to get back to the blood, the teaching that is given because of the shed blood of Christ Jesus in God's Word, that this Word is power and power unto salvation. But not that it stands alone by itself, it has to be coupled with those that believe. And stated so right here in this particular passage. When we look at this, we see then the beginning of the importance of the Word of God that is given, the Word of Christ, the Bible that we have, this New Testament that we have, that we look into. We also see that involved in this is the ability to save, that capability or to have power to save, as mentioned in James 1st chapter in verse 21. Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. Stop right there before we end the reading of that verse and think about the world today. Where do you go to in the world, separate and apart from God, separate and apart from His Word, separate and apart from the truth to find truth? Where do you go? Separate apart from the Word of God, separate apart from the Bible that we have, where do you go to really find peace? Separate and apart from God's Word, where do you find how to get to the blood of Christ Jesus, except by the Word. So then James continues on and says, and receive with meekness the implanted Word which is able, that word power, capability, which is able to save your souls. But it's qualified. It's qualified because this Word is given, but then it has to be acted upon. It is not the means of salvation itself, but it is the means in order to get back to the blood. The only means of salvation, the only means of redemption, justification, and reconciliation. It gives that instruction and direction back to the blood of Christ Jesus. We see also that this Word does something else. It doesn't. It is not the means of justification. It's not the means of redemption and reconciliation, but rather it is the means of fellowship. And we see that when we think about 1 John 1, verses 6 through 7. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. I have discussed so many times with people. and ask them, how is it that you believe that you are being saved? What is the means of your salvation? And I've had so many answer me in so many different ways. Well, it is being associated with a corporate body, a religious corporate body. That's how I'm saved. No, that can't be it, because the only means of redemption, justification, reconciliation is the blood of Christ Jesus. Well, I'm saved because I enjoy nature. I see God's creation, and I'm at one with Him then when I am in His creation, and then I am in that hope or in that expectation of salvation. No, that's not it. We understand that from Hebrews 11 chapter and verse 6. But without faith, it's impossible to please Him, for he that comes to God must believe, first of all, that He is, but that also He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him, not haphazardly, but diligently seek Him. And so then we go on with the reading, and John says here, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. You see that word practice there? That shows an impetus on the part of a believer to do God's will. It has to do with the Word of God, the instruction that is given. But if we walk in the light is the Word of God. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. That is, us with God. And the blood of Jesus Christ then cleanses us from all sins. That shows us how to get back to the blood. It's through the Word. Law keeping doesn't do it. Lord, I come every Sunday and I partake of the Lord's Supper as we did this morning. Therefore, you owe me salvation. No, that's law keeping, but law keeping from God's Word in order to be in fellowship with Him, not the means of salvation itself. You remember when Paul addressed the matter of the Lord's Supper in 1 Corinthians 11 chapter, verses 23 and following. When he comes down to verse 26, after recounting the institution of the Lord's Supper, he says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do proclaim the Lord's death until He comes." And what that was about this morning, whenever Christians partook of the Lord's Supper, they were saying, Christ Jesus is my means. He, through His shed blood for the forgiveness of my sins, He was the sacrifice. And I pay honor and I pay allegiance to Him because of the sacrifice that He made. And I proclaim that my salvation then is through Him. And so he says then, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. It is maintaining a fellowship by doing what the Word says. But the Word in and of itself, just the law itself, is not the means of salvation. But rather, it is that which directs us to be in relationship with God. That we, it is powerful, that gives us the ability, and so that we can then make choice to be in fellowship with Him. That's what the Word does. And not only that, as we're going to be seeing, it gets us back to the blood. But then we also have another aspect, and that is our obedience. Our obedience has to be a part of all of this in order to get back to the blood. And as we see in Romans 1 and verse 16, once again, as we go and look at the word for, it is the power of God to salvation. It is the means of that which is toward, into, or viewed with an action that would follow. In other words, it is obedience. Our obedience to the Word gets us then in a position to be in fellowship with God. But not only that, it does other things too, as we're going to be seeing. That we receive from God those words that were given. And we use again James 1 and verse 21, receive with meekness the implanted Word. You can't get back to the blood unless you receive with meekness the implanted Word, the engrafted Word, which is able to save your souls, not because of the Word itself, not because of law keeping, but because of the blood of Christ. And then we also see, going back to 1 John 1, verses 6 through 7, that walk, that regulation that has been given through the Word, our obedience to it, therefore our conduct in that Word. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ then cleanses us from all sins. That begins then to answer the question, how do you get to the blood of Christ? Well, you get there because the Word was given. You get there because you obey them, that word that is given. And so we see that unto our actions, unto obedience of God's word, we receive then with meekness that word, which is able to save our souls, to put us in the walk with God, because there is where we get back to the blood that was shed for us. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. Our religious friends would say, obedience of any sort is nothing more than works. And so it is the teaching then. Anything about obedience is the teaching of being saved by works. It is not. The instruction comes forth from God. And I will give you this thought as we're about to study Hebrews, when we get to the 11th chapter. We wouldn't know one faithful person in that chapter of Hebrews 11 that is presented to us except by what they did in their obedience to God. And then they're recognized as faithful. And the same thing is true. And that is how we get back then to the blood of Christ Jesus. Jesus' blood saves. Matthew 26 and verse 28, "For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." It offers in that redemption, justification, reconciliation. His word, the gospel, tells us his requirements and keeps us in fellowship with him. We see that in 1 Thessalonians, the second chapter and verse 13. "For this reason we thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is the truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe." We see also that our obedience to his word takes us to his blood. We see it in Romans, the second chapter, in verse 13. "For not the hearers of the law are just before the sight of God, but doers of the law will be just." And the reason being, it gets you back to the blood. It directs you there. It is that obedience. I asked this morning, are you saved? Are you a child of God? Maybe you don't consider yourself lost. But let me submit to you that if you do not follow the instructions of God's will, that you're in a lost condition, that you need salvation, that you need the blood of Christ, that you need that direction, that you must show forth in that obedience to the word that has been given in order for you to get back to the blood of Christ Jesus. And there's no other way. It's not about the writings of men. It's not about some religious corporate body. But rather, it's about the blood of Christ, the word that comes forth from him, and then obedience to that word. If you're not a child of God this morning, if you are not a Christian, and I'm talking more than just a label, I'm talking about one that is really following his will with all diligence. If you're not a child of God this morning, you can become one, and it is so very simple. You know, if it was complicated, Jesus didn't die for everyone. But because it is so simple, Jesus did die for everyone. He died for you and everyone in your condition. This morning, have faith in his word. This morning, if you will, make a change of mind that says, you know, I've been going my own way in this life, but I'm going to go the way of the one that died for me. And that is called repentance. A change of mind which results in a change of action. If you will, name the name of Christ this morning, because there is not another name given among men by where we must be saved. Acts 4 and verse 12. It is a confession, a commitment. I will do the Lord's will. Do that this morning. And not only that, but also be baptized for the remission of your sins. Well, what's in the water? Obedience. Obedience then that gets you to the blood of Christ Jesus. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. 1 John 1 verse 7. That's not a stopping place. And so I'm going to also talk to those that have done that, but maybe you're not living the life that you should. Maybe you're not showing forth Christ Jesus in your life. Maybe you've got all the excuses in the way that have taken you away from doing the Lord's will. Maybe it's a long ways to church. Maybe there are so many things that come up in my life that prevent me. And all of those are just excuses without foundation. You know, you think about the excuses that Jesus could have made. This is going to be painful when I go to the cross. I love everyone, but I'm just not willing to go through all that pain. I'm not willing. I came from heaven and everyone rejects me. Why would I give myself for all these people that have rejected me? Think about all the excuses that Jesus made, but he didn't do that. And think about what Paul says in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. That's not when we want to make sacrifice, when it's convenient for us, but each and every day of our life, day in and day out. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, separate from the world. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, acceptable because you're following in your conduct of life God's word, and prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God in order to be a true child of God. You see, if you've not been doing that, that means your salvation is still the blood of Christ Jesus. When we look over in 1 John 2nd chapter, verses 1 and 2. My little children, sin not, but if you do sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is a propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. He shed His blood even to bring Christians back into the fold that have left Him. Understand that if you're not living the life as a child of God as you should, you've not left the church. You've left Christ and His shed blood. And you have need of forgiveness. And you have the impetus then to cry out, my Lord and my God. And beat upon your breast as that tax collector did. Forgive me, for I've sinned. The means of your salvation is Christ Jesus. Will you accept it? If there are those that we can help in any way, we ask you to come as we stand the same.